What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Games Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. Leftover Poppy, a.k.a. the OK Beast, Blessing Eddie Oye Jr.
Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon, Bless. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I want you to know I'm finally ready to make it official, everybody. This is my favorite Blessing jacket.
Oh. I love this jacket.
Whenever this one comes out, I'm like, yeah, this is the good one.
That's
this
awesome.
Is the
good one. But I associate this with like being out in like the cold, right? Okay. Like, I look at this as almost as a winter coat.
Sure.
I know, like, I think Nick had commented on it saying
it's
like,
softer than you think it'd be, Andy. Mike, come over and touch
it. I expected it to be a lot more coarse.
I think Nick referred to it as a shacket, like a shirt jacket.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think I associate like wearing it.
I disagree. I don't think that's a shacket.
Really? You don't think so? I think it's good. I think it's can provide enough warmth that he can wear it as the jacket, but it also could be a t-shirt where he's not going to get overly hot.
Could also be a
t-shirt like this.
Be a regular jacket. But yeah, I feel weird wearing this inside. Like, I feel like I should save this for when I'm about to go out or something.
You look great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
When we're talking about looking great, we're talking about the master of hype, Snowbike Mike.
With my new sweatshirt, Andy.
New sweatshirt, beautiful.
I mean, yeah, this is your second time wearing this, right? How much did this set you back in?
$250.
$250 for
it's vintage.
Wait, did you say $250?
$250. Found it on Depop, some website I've never been to.
Bussy, he's the
if you were an audio
shuts
listener,
up about Wolverine. He loves Wolverine.
It is the most fucking generic white Gilead sweatshirt.
I could have made that sweatshirt for
with
you.
With an all over, not even an all over print, just a giant image of Wolverine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a cool image of Wolverine.
It's a really cool one that you could have gotten off the internet.
He loves Wolverine, though.
Ironed on to any shirt you want.
$250?
Yeah.
I'm
a huge fan of Lance. He's my favorite X-Man.
Jesus Christ.
God, I hate it.
Lance.
God, I hate it.
The fucking Pokemon gym leader. Is that what you're talking about?
And of course, he's the Hispanic heartthrob Texas treat. Latino heat. Clicking heads, ripping him to shreds. Globetrotting, headshotting, three-point shooting, rooting, tooting. Nitro Rifle from twitch.tv. Andy Cortez.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
You're doing a lot of good work out there.
Really excited. Got some really exciting stuff that I've been working on, stewing on.
We're proud of you out there.
So
you're doing a lot of cool
it.
Stuff to make.
Thank you.
What's wrong, Blessing?
No, I was just curious what the background was. For a second, I thought it was Pokemon. I was like, that's interesting.
That was nice. Squid Splatoon. Kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Almost.
Fuck them.
Fuck them
squid kids. About them squid
fuck
kids.
Them squid kids.
I don't play that Splatoon shit. I only play Pokemon.
I don't understand. You know, Splatoon? We're on three already? We already had a third one.
Yeah, there's a third one. It's weird. They put out two Splatoons on the Switch. They don't do that, Nintendo.
Splatoon, like, I honestly feels like it should have as many installments as ARMS. All right, the fact there's three Splatoons, you know what I mean?
That's a crazy thing to say.
Yeah.
Like, you got to understand that Japan is carrying Splatoon on its back.
Yeah.
They are the reason we are getting these many, and I love them as a country.
For that.
I was going to say continent.
Splatoon.
I was going to say continent.
Glad you didn't. You know what I mean?
Thank you. Thank you, Japan.
But you're like a fake Splatoon fan.
Yeah, whenever it comes
you don't
out,
rock with it.
Whenever it comes in, I get into
did
it.
Did you play the new update?
Yeah, what's up with that?
I went to an event for it.
Yeah, but did you play when it came out officially?
No, because other stuff happened.
Exactly. I had to go play Valorant for the 9,000th time.
He's so deep in the Valorant, Duffy.
So deep in the Valorant.
They kicked me off the team, Greg. I don't want to talk about it.
It's because you have to confirm your phone number in order to like join the actual real squad.
Yeah,
and
my phone number's tied to a different account. I have multiple accounts, a lot of money involved. It's a whole thing.
Wait, who's they? They kicked you off the team. Are you talking about Team Mobile?
Andy.
No, because we got a Valorant squad. So you know how you all do soccer?
Yeah.
Like a little post work
every Tuesday
week thing.
Yeah. Have so much fun.
So we have that, but for Valorant. There's like an actual league that you sign up for in the game. It's called Premier. You and your squad mates, you make a little squad.
That
you create
cool.
a team.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And
that's
cool. Every whatever day you want, like I think it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's like certain time slots you can go play. So we've decided that every Thursday rather at 7 p.m. Let's all join up. Let's be ready to play Valorant. And you play against other people in this like kind of open conference. We're 6-2 right now.
Wow.
We're one win away from making the playoffs. If we get in, you get like cool loot and a little
suck
special.
Suck it, Blitzchung. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I love that you pulled that out years ago.
Free Hong Kong. I'll never forget. I don't remember what Overwatch. You played Overwatch.
He was League of Legends, baby. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. This is Valorant.
Yeah.
It's you know, we can't do it for every Bless Who or, you know, Kind of Funny Game Showdown or anything like that. But I, if you put it up, put some Paragon photos up and Valorant photos. See if I can talk. I don't even know what the fuck Valorant looks like.
I gotta write that down.
Really? No
write
fucking
down,
idea.
Oh,
I'm sure some fucking generic ass first person shooter bullshit.
He's about to get you on a Kind of Beauty.
Protect the fucking payload garbage. I don't know what's happening.
No, it's just search and destroy, mijo. It's 5v5. One team is attacking, the other team's defending. Got to plant the bomb, get a...
It's like Counter-Strike.
I was going to say, is it hyper-realistic? Like a Rainbow Six or something?
No, no. It is extremely cartoony, and it's basically Overwatch and Counter-Strike joined.
You're fucking lying, Bear. Give me a Valorant trailer. You're going to throw a fucking Battleborn? I also won't know. That's it or not. I don't know what I'm looking at.
Hit game Battleborn.
Oh, my God. Never forget. It's back. Now that, you know, now Gearbox is off on the road again.
I'm just waiting. One second. I'm Googling Blitzchung real quick.
Okay.
Was it? Was
just to
it?
Double check.
I thought it was Overwatch.
I thought it was Overwatch.
Because it was Blizzard.
It is Overwatch.
Yeah, Blizzard thing.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
I wasn't totally wrong. Here we go.
I don't know what game this is. So
this
I'm being
is not
honest.
Any
this
of the
Battleborn.
Good shoot.
He would have believed it. He would have believed it.
This is like Paladins or some shit.
Is this what was Cliffy B's game without the gravity?
Lawbreakers.
Because you're breaking the law of gravity.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Oh man, shout out.
That what game is this?
It's Battleborn.
Oh. Apparently, I just never knew what Battleborn looked like.
When I think of Battleborn, I think of the mushroom guy. There was a guy who ran around with a mushroom head.
It
remember?
Was. Guy with mushroom.
It wasn't Overwatch. It was Hearthstone.
No.
Yeah. Hearthstone Grandmaster streaming event in Taiwan. Yeah.
How do you have that much controversy over Hearthstone?
I know, right?
Big deal.
I was Blizzard and he was getting headlines like that. But here's a check. Thanks so much.
You bring a whole company over
Don't
Hearthstone.
Don't worry about it. Can I please see Valorant? I really would like to see.
And bring up Lawbreakers too, because I'm curious now.
And Radical Heights.
Oh, shout out to Radical Heights.
Radical Heights.
Because of the vending machines.
Yes.
So this is Valorant?
This is Valorant, yeah.
See, this looks like Gary's mod. If you threw up this, you said it's Gary's mod.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. We're just saying stuff.
Fucking
now.
Alleyways, it's Gary's.
One of the games got alleys.
Radical Heights. Is that first person?
Third person.
I remember there being like skateboarding ramps.
I thought there was bicycles, right? BMX
bicycles?
Bike they were riding on?
You would ride your bicycle. Yeah. That was like your main mounts. Radical Heights was like that. It lasted less than...
Real short.
Bring up Realm Royale. I want to see if I can tell Realm Royale from Radical Heights.
This is Gary's mod.
I thought you were going to say this is Valorant. More Valorant gameplay.
This is the guy from Half-Life, isn't it?
Man,
this is Gary's mod.
Rest in peace, Realm
Royale. No way this is Gary's mod.
Yeah.
They're shooting like this in Gary's mod?
I mean, it's Valve. Yeah, it's a Valve shooter.
And you're going to look at this and tell me this doesn't look like the thing we just looked at with the alleys and the cobblestones. You know what I mean?
Rest in peace to not only Realm Royale, but... The Wizard one, Mike.
Spellbreak.
Yeah. God.
We were talking
about
that.
I don't think Realm Royale's dead. Is it dead?
No, Realm Royale's still going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
It's just.
I played quite a bit of Realm
Royale. I killed
Royale.
Bill Pullman last week and I killed Realm Royale today.
That's as bad as when Hulk Hogan was like, I miss Bam Margera. I'm sorry, he died. And Bam responded, I'm still alive.
Oh, God.
That's so right.
Jesus.
It was a great start of the show.
It's a great... I mean, I said this earlier on the stream or whatever, and Kevin made fun of me there too, but I'm like, the cough is now only happening really badly when I laugh. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that I've been coughing throughout this beginning tells you how much I love hanging out with
you
guys.
We're having fun.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, you do know what I mean. You know? Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, this is the Kind of Funny Games cast. Each and every week, 4, sometimes 5, best friends gather on this table to talk about video games and all the things they love and sometimes don't love in them. And there... adaptations.
Whoa.
Nice. You didn't see it. It's our Fallout review. See, it's not even about a game, technically. You know what I mean?
That was a new Fallout game out.
Yeah, I wish, right? Come on. We'll get to that.
Don't get me started.
Now I've swallowed part of the lozenge.
I saw it happen. I saw the action of him breathing in.
Jesus.
So,
Fear in my eyes when I was like getting my water for this, I'm like, cool. Roundtable review. Me and the boys hanging out, Tim hosting, and I heard Tim tell Cool Greg, I'm not even hosting this. I looked at the count, I'm like, fuck, fuck, I gotta talk this long? Shit.
I'm like opening up a KFGD doc in case I need to like pick this up.
Nah, well, I mean,
Greg dies mid-show and I need to do the intro.
It's not that bad. I can send you the real doc I made. Don't worry about
that. It's a very chill cough.
I mean, I just need the Patreon producers.
Not even sick.
Ads.
Not even sick. You know what I mean? Just fucking 2 weeks of limping on, coughing here and there, being annoyed as shit. It doesn't matter. Gamescast every week. Of course, if you like this show, support us with the Kinda Funny membership. With the Kinda Funny membership, you, of course, could usually watch us record it live. You could get each and every episode ad-free. You could get all of our other shows ad-free. You could watch us record the afternoon podcast live as we record them. And, of course, you get my daily multimedia experience, Greg Way, where sometimes I have road rage for bad drivers from Texas with N7 bumper stickers.
I saw the clip of this. I didn't listen to it, but I just saw you like out your window screaming at somebody apparently. Was that real?
It was Andy.
Oh, okay.
So it starts with me like, hey, everybody, welcome to Greg Way. I didn't set up my microphone because I'm pulling up on Andy. So it's like a hurried thing to me then screaming at Andy.
I'm just waiting at a red light here. Honk, and I turn to my right, and like before I could even make out that it was Greg, I just hear, "You fucking piece of shit!" They're really freaking me
out. I put a whole fucking performance on for everybody. Yeah, there. You know what I mean? Everybody, they were driving to work chuckling. I'm sure.
I didn't yell back. I just kind of like, but I think the lady in front of me was laughing.
Yeah, the people behind us definitely were too.
This just reminded me of yesterday on the way to. I was gonna go watch Monkey Man, which I did. It was great.
Oh yeah.
On the way, it was fantastic. On the way there, though, I get to like the first stoplight. And I'm like right next to a car, and I like look. Me and this guy kind of look at each other, and I look back because I'm like, "Oh, cool, we made eye contact. It's cool." And then I can feel him still looking at me, and I look back at him. And he busts out some cookies.
Okay.
And he's like, offering me the cookies.
What, like to sell them?
Was he in the driver? He was driving. You're driving,
and so he was the only person in his car.
Yeah.
And like he's like, "Do I want some cookies?" Like signaling at me, and I'm looking at him like. No, I'm like waving off like next time. I'm good. I'm good at your cookies.
Was the person you stopped next to Mike?
No, it was some guy in a pickup truck that I've never in my head. I'm like, when we first made eye contact, I'm like, do I know this guy? Like, is he a fan? Yeah. And then he busts out the cookies, and I'm like,
God, I'm seeing stars. I laughed so hard right there.
I forgot that happened. It happened literally yesterday, and I blanked out of my brain until now, and I'm realizing how crazy that was.
When we were driving back from the airport on that trip to New York we did, I was driving, and I was telling Jen she might have been driving, and I was telling some intense story, and I started using air quotes, and I'm like, no. And I looked as I did the air quote, I looked over, and the other guy across here was making fun of me to his friend, and I was like, you got me. That was good. I deserve that.
I'm a bitch.
I'm an asshole. I'm a fucking sucker. We all had a good laugh about it, but no cookies were involved, sadly. Like I said, though, Kinda Funny membership for all the cool perks. And, of course, to keep the lights and mics on here at our 11-person independent operation in San Francisco. However, no bucks tossed our way, no big deal. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. Podcast services around the globe each and every week for a brand new Kinda Funny Gamescast where we talk, review, preview, and everything else in the video game world. Housekeeping for you. A new Kinda Funny podcast is up, of course. They're talking about the eclipse and the conspiracy theories.
Oh, it gets real wacky towards the end of that podcast.
I heard some of it.
We almost called the podcast, don't listen to the end of this podcast.
Fair enough.
Just skip it.
On top of that, this Friday, April 12th at noon, come experience Pokemon like you've never experienced it before through the eyes of a 44-year-old man. That's right. The one only Nick Scarpino will be playing his very first Pokemon game, but with a twist. It's Nuzlocke. Mike?
What a special time it's going to be. Nick's first experience ever playing a Pokemon game, but with a little twist. We're going to make it challenging. We're going to take out a Nuzlocke challenge. And for all of you who might be listening and go, I don't know what that means, it's just three simple rules. One, you can only catch a Pokemon in each area. The first Pokemon you see, you can catch. If you miss it, no Pokemon in that area. So it really limits him to about 52 total chances to catch a Pokemon. After that, if a Pokemon dies and or faints, it's permanently dead. He cannot use it anymore and must be released and put in a permabox. And on top of that, you have to name your Pokemon. So hopefully he'll grow an attachment to these Pokemon. If they faint, we'll have a nice touching moment. But it's a fun, challenging way to play Pokemon.
Looking forward to it. You can too, ladies and gentlemen, of course. April 12th, noon, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. And, of course, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames later. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kieran Hovasapien, Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Factor, Dragon's Dogma 2, and Robin Hood. But we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's start with topic of the show. Tots, 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 tots. Can you believe it? Blessing Eddie Oye Jr., that Fallout, the TV series, is actually real and actually here.
I can because I've watched all of it.
Whoa! Of course, ladies and gentlemen, Fallout got announced a long, long time ago with Amazon picking it up, and it is coming out Wednesday, 6 p.m. Pacific time, all 8 episodes dropping at once. We have screeners. We all have various levels of watched it. You've watched all of it.
Yep.
I've watched 3 episodes. Andy?
Mm-hmm. Uno.
Just one?
Just one.
You've been working on hard stuff.
Michael? I've watched all 8 episodes as well.
We thought we'd come in. We would give you a review. No spoilers, of course. We're not going, well, you want to talk already?
Yeah, I'll give you all the spoilers, people.
It's no, like, no, you won't.
Obviously, we're talking about characters and who they are in the world kind of thing, but like not plot lines and what's going on in the end of things. But I would imagine we're going to identify people and talk about what performances. But, you know, a normal spoiler-free review from us or whatever when it comes to this kind of thing. I don't know how to even come at it since we all have different things. You guys have powered through it. I guess I would start with, I'm so impressed with this and can't wait to watch more. That's the thing. I got a late start on it because of the million other things I've been doing. Jumped in last night with Jen. She was like, do you want to wake up early tomorrow and watch one of the other ones before Ben gets up? Which I think, for a parent and busy, tired people, the highest compliment we can pay it. Blessing. Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated to see what you're going to think about it. Because I remember when you were like, yeah. But somehow it seems like you've fallen in love with it as you've gone.
That's the thing is, I think the show is excellent. It's definitely one that took a little bit for it to actually warm up to me. Like, it was one of those ones where I think it was during the meeting on Friday where we're like, okay, what are we going to do for the Fallout review? Who wants to be on it? Like, how many episodes are you going to watch for it? And I had mentioned, like, I'm like, you'll get 3 episodes out of me at least, right? Yeah. Like, I'm committed to doing episode 3. And at that point, I'd only watched 2 episodes. I then watched the 3rd episode and was like, I think it's cool, but it's, you know, I'm not motivated. You know, there are things that I like. There are things that I don't like. And that's still true today. But Mike had come in on, I think, Monday or Tuesday and was like, Bless, have you seen the rest of it? And I was like, no, like, I'm after episode 3. Like, I don't know if I'm feeling that much. And Mike was like, dude. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, let me watch one more. And I watched one more episode. And from then on, I was like, oh, I'm hooked.
Okay.
Like, it is so good. Like, I'm at the point now. Are we doing scores?
Yeah, for sure.
So for me, I would give it a 4 out of 5.
A great on the Kind of Funny review.
Yeah,
scale.
I think it's a great. I think it's a great TV show. I think it's a 10 out of 10 adaptation, though.
Like, yeah.
I think it's one of those ones that understands the source material so well. It captures the Fallout world so well. Like, all of the things I love about Fallout, the goofiness of it, the wacky nature of it, the violence, the gore, how like good it does as like a commentary, but like still is able to keep your attention and like be weird with the characters that it's introducing and like kind of have you turning left and right, not knowing where the story is going to go at any moment. This show does all of that stuff. Like, I think its biggest flaws are that I do think that it takes a little bit to get there. I think episode 1 is great. Episodes 2 and 3, I wasn't feeling, specifically because there's maybe 1 or 2 characters where I'm like, ooh, I don't know how I feel about these guys. Yeah, like the Brotherhood of Steel storyline specifically.
Maximus.
I'm like, I don't really like this guy. It came around later on, but in those first few episodes, I was like, I really don't like this character. Like, that stuff didn't work for me. And then there are some things in terms of like CG and stuff that don't hold up as well as I would like. Aside from that, though, I think the writing is great. I think what they do with like the vault storylines is great. Again, they capture the things about Fallout that I really dig. And one of the things from playing the games that I really love that I wish the games would tackle even more is the vault stuff, right? Like, in those games, you always start off in the vault and then you leave. Peace. And then it is about the world. It is about the Brotherhood. It is about the Enclave and these different things. I think the show dives deeper into some of the stuff that like I would want out of, oh yeah, what's up with the vaults? Like, let's explore the weird stuff with that. And I think they do a really good job of that. Also with like the stuff that's going on outside. The big thing I want to shout out though is Walton Goggins. His performance as the ghoul is so fucking good.
He is fucking crushing. And I love Walton. I've loved him. Everything I've seen him in, back to Sons of Anarchy, I think is where I have this guy's amazing. And then, of course, like,
a product is never made worse with him in it, you know?
There's not one scene with him where I'm, like, not engaged.
Yeah.
Every single scene that has Walton Goggins in it, I am fully in. His performance as the ghoul is fantastic. And, yeah, like, he eats up every scene he's in. But,
before
yeah, I really
we get too far
thing.
Into all your notes and all these things that I want to jump on into, like, I'm right there with you of, like, for me as such a huge Fallout game fan, I wasn't prepared. Like, they had said, you know, we've covered it on Games Daily for so long and talked about it and listened about it, of them being like, oh, well, you know, no, it's in the video game universe. This is all happening alongside Vault 76, 101, et cetera. And like, okay, cool. I didn't really think too much about beyond conversations on top level. Like, well, how are they going to do the humor? What are they going to do? When she busts out the first stim pack, to heal herself from a pretty grave injury. I was like, ah, that's fucking cool. And it's like, they do it, they establish it, and they move on. They don't hang on it and try to give you some weird-ass explanation. It's just like, no, in this little off-kilter world, this works for them and how it goes. Michael, you've also powered through. Was there a question for you ever?
No, I don't even think I call it powering through. I loved every moment of it. They nailed it. It is truly impressive to watch. I give it a 5 out of 5 on the Kinda Funny scale. It is everything I wanted and some. And as Bless said, I think the presentation of this, the production value put into this is really blowing me away, right? Coming hot off the heels of Halo and the shows like The Last of Us, right? Like, they put the love and care into this. I mean, every title gets its own title treatment, and it's going to make you smile every single time you see that Fallout pop up. The quality of the CGI, what you will see from monsters to ghouls to baddies, I think will really impress you all the way through. And the story keeps you captivated. It wants you, you're going to want more out of it, and it's going to leave you wanting more with each and every twist and turn, which I really liked. I think Blessing brought up, I love seeing vault life, right? You get to be in the vault. You get to see what it's like. You learn so much about Vault Tech, right? This company that, you know, when you're playing the games, you get little hints and pieces of, maybe you miss a side mission, you don't get to see that. I love that we can sit on it and learn more about it. And that's what you get with the Brotherhood of Steel, the Enclave you learn a little bit about. I love Vault Tech, and like pre-bomb dropping life as well is very cool to see. And you're going to get a lot of that, which is where I really found a lot of enjoyment. I think it's one of those, when I think of these things, is you have The Last of Us, and we know the story, and they're going to capture that story. We talk about Halo in that first season where they were like, hey, we just don't want to give you Halo Combat Evolved, and they tried to tell their own story in that universe, but we didn't want that as fans. Fallout is difficult, right? Because you know the stories, but it's the stories you make in the wasteland, and I think that's what the big benefit of this was, is they got to make their own story, but you know the world, you know the big major players, and they nailed it all the way through. 8 episodes was a blast. There's some meaty ones that are plus an hour. Rest of them fall at about 48 minutes, and none of them, for me, felt like they dragged. There was so much fun to be had, and so I love this. I'm really impressed, and I can't wait to see all the people playing Fallout soon, which will be great.
Oh, I'll get it
to piggyback off of that for a second. Like, one of the things that I like about the show a lot is that it feels like it is alongside the games, right?
Yeah.
Like I like the story here as if it's a main quest in a Fallout game. Like, by the time I got to the end of it, I felt like I had just been through a main Fallout quest. And talking about the vault, like, Vault 33, which is the main vault in the show, is up there with like one of my favorite vaults, right? Oh. Like, I think the way, like, the, I think it being a TV show gives them more breathing room and gives them more, hey, let's cut back between what's going on the outside and what's going on in the world and what's going on here and there.
Flashbacks
and all this stuff. As opposed to, like, when you're playing a Fallout game, once you leave the vault, that's it, right? Like, the story moves on with where you go as a character. Here, they give the vault story way more just attention, right? And that allows them to build it up way more and like give you way more out of that. And I'm out of here. I'm ending the show being like, I really like what they're giving us with this vault story. Like, it reminds me of, I don't know if you guys have seen Severance on what was it, Apple. Like, there are things that they do with the vault stuff that gives me Severance vibes. And Severance, for me, is a 10 out of 10 show. Right? 100%. Like, I love that. So I think they're nailing that aspect of it.
I'm sure having one of the people from Severance inside the vault does help.
Really quick, Blessing brought up Walton Goggins and how great he was. I want to nail all of the cast, because the casting for each character is actually perfect. When you get to the end of 8 episodes, you'll laugh and go, man, each one of those people that we met along the way were just perfectly cast. They encapsulate each character so well, from the vault dwellers and what you'll see in that to the main character, Lucy. I think Lucy is so much fun, of like just that lighthearted girl coming out of the vault, of like only knowing the golden rule of the vault and trying to be that, to, oh, I'm going to get really hardened and I'm going to learn a lot of lessons along this harsh road to where she's at the end, while still keeping the light and the humor and the fun, but also like being a different person, is really well done.
And I think that's something so hard to pull off, right? You talk, and to Lucy, who's played by Ella Purnell, I haven't seen her in anything that I can remember from before, so she was new, and it was like, she does such a great job of doing that naivete of what vault life is and what's going on in there, but being happy about having to learn self-defense and all these different things and yada, 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 and then getting out and seeing that, you know, very much the vault life, what they think life is going to be like outside and how it all interacts. But Andy, I'm sorry, you're one episode in. Is that because of time or because you didn't find
time?
Okay.
Yeah, time. I mean, yeah, the episode one, very chunky, time. About an hour and 11 minutes or so. And I think I was so encouraged by episode one, and also just by by walking in and kind of asking you all, hey, how much should I watch? Or how much of the episodes? You know, how can I get access to them? Is what I was asking yesterday. And Blessing being like, I was three episodes in and thought it was okay. He was like, watch all of it. It's like that fucking fantastic. And after episode one, super impressed by it. Just in terms of like world design and building up this universe that I am not familiar with at all, aside from memes and, you know, internet culture and gaming culture in general, like watching, watching, I'm blanking on his H-Bomber guys like Doc on Fallout New Vegas and things like that. I'm very unfamiliar with a lot of what Fallout is as a whole, aside from listening to you all review Fallout 4 back in the day and everything. So there are a lot of touchstones that I'm probably not necessarily understanding, and I know there's a lot of references I'm not getting, but as somebody who doesn't really know much of anything about Fallout, I think it's gripping. I think it's like a really, episode one starts off with a bang, and it sets suspense so well, and it sets stakes, and you feel danger, and I love when something seems kind of off, and oh shit, how's this all going to go to hell, and I thought it was just very, very well done, and yeah, I'm super excited for the rest of it. I'm excited to keep going. I'm glad to know that it does pick up even more, because episode one, I'm very, very encouraged by the rest of it.
And that's great. I'm glad for somebody who's not as connected to Fallout for that to work, because that was the thing for me. Is, again, somebody who loves the property, right? Like, I've been in, not that you don't love it, but like for me, like just being in a vault, having the vault jumpsuit, seeing the ghoul, Walton, like, from the jump, I've been like, oh my God. So the fact that you're like, episode four really kicks it up and gets going, I'm excited to see where else we're going on the ride, because it's been such a dream come true, isn't right, but so satisfying to see them nail it down to, like, you know, the sugar bombs and the Nuka Cola. And it's like, man, I know what all this sounds like when you pick it up and spin it and do the thing. You know what I mean?
Didn't they have a bobblehead that we have here somewhere?
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, like, again,
that's like the exact bobblehead.
Those bobbleheads are in the universe, right?
They're
in. The Vault Boys are a big deal, right? So it's like that. And then literally, you know, the Vault Boy on your wrist and all these different things.
Yeah,
it's like,
boy, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Pip Boy. They're doing such a great job of realizing the video game world. Bless.
Yeah. No, I agree with that 100%. And like, I really like the things that they choose to tackle, but then also the things that they choose to leave on the table, right? The things where I, like, halfway through the season, I look at Mike and I'm like, Mike, where's this? Where's that? Like, there are these things that are from the game that I've not seen yet. And as I go in, like, as I get further into the show, I'm like, no, this is doing all the things that it needs to do and is saving things for the next season in ways that I really like, right? Yeah. Like, go for it.
Well, I'm trying to think of how to frame this question without trying to get too spoilery, but do they reference characters one for one, or are they like, hey, this character's not named that, the exact same name, but you know who it is because you met them in Fallout 3 and they were an NPC.
You're not really meeting any characters in the game, at least I don't think so. I don't think there's any characters in the show.
I'm not that super nerdy where I can tell you everything, but keep in mind that this is happening in California, right? Whereas the games all are happening on the East Coast. Well, New Vegas, obviously.
Yeah, right.
New Vegas differently, but like outside of that, you're in DC, right? You're in Boston.
Yeah. But even when I say references, right? Like, I'm talking about things like, you know, ghouls, where you talk about like Walton Goggins' ghoul, or like the Stimpak stuff, or like the Brotherhood of Steel, like, armor, like that kind of stuff, where I'm like, oh man, I would have expected them to almost get greedy in some of the storytelling and jam-pack as much Fallout reference as they can. And I think they balance it really well, where, again, there are things where I'm like, oh yeah, I wouldn't even think to do this. Like, there's I can't, it's hard to talk about without spoilers, but there are things that they reference, or like little cute things, little cute nods to the game.
Yeah,
I don't, I'm like, this is really cool.
I don't know that that's full-blown spoilers, right? Well, yeah. At least the one I'm thinking of, right, that I brought up just to make sure. Like obviously, the Fallout, you know, pre-bomb drops is such a weird futuristic 50s futures tech kind of thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like in Fallout 4, right, we all had Codsworth, right? The robot that hung out the thing. You come back, it's 200 years later. You talk to him. He's had like a mental breakdown because he hasn't talked to anybody in so long. Mm-hmm. Like, they, again, not being greedy about it, right? What the flashback that kind of opens the show, where the blah blah, like, or one of the flashbacks, I guess, like, has that kind of robot in the background. Like, it's not doing anything. It doesn't have a name. We're not talking to it, but it's like just a quick camera pan of it in the house, and it's like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, just like that kind of little table dressing.
Yeah. And like, you know, stuff like that, stuff like, you know, the little bugs you'll find, or not little, the big bugs that you'll find in the Fallout universe.
Yeah.
Stuff like that they choose to involve in the ways that they involve that stuff, I think is really cool. But one thing I also like a lot is, again, the gore and the action.
Yeah.
I didn't know how I felt about that in like the first couple episodes, but there was a scene, I think in episode two, that really kicked it up a notch where I was like, ooh, all right, this is, there are body parts exploding.
Yeah, in the way just that, like the game.
Yeah, in the way that they explode in a video game, but I actually do believe it here. Mm-hmm. And I think they do a good job of being like, hey, like, throughout the series, throw the seriousness out, right? It's interesting coming into this after watching both all of Shogun, well, I guess most episodes of Shogun because it's still going, and then also Dune, which those are two stories that like really submerge you in those worlds. They want to be as realistic as possible for like a movie that takes place in space, and then also like a samurai story, right? Like they're trying to submerge you in those worlds, and like every single thing feels accounted for, and every single thing feels like a, hey, like you are in this world. Those are also very serious stories. Fallout is like, it almost felt like I had to reprogram my brain. I think this is why I took until episode four, where I'm like, oh no, I get this. I understand what this is. Because like when I see body parts exploding, at first it is like, ooh, okay. Like that seems like a lot, but the show really understands its own tone that it's going for. Yeah. And it's like
a great tone.
It has a great tone. And the further you get into it, the more it doubles down on that tone in a way where I am genuinely laughing at like certain lines they say, because again, they understand how wacky this needs to be Fallout. And so, yeah, I think it all comes together really well.
Yeah. I think, you know, back to the video game DNA of it, right? Like watching episode one and like, Jen is asking me questions about the games, but all this, and then like, you know, well, what's this? I'm like, I actually don't know, because that's not, you know, blah, blah. But it was like, when Lucy sets off on her reason to leave the vault, I was like, I paused, I'm like, this is brilliant, right? Yeah. Because like every Fallout game gives you that reason to go and you understand what you're doing. So the way they're setting it up here is so great, let alone the fact that it's vignette based, right? Where it is between these three characters of Ghoul, Maximus, Lucy. We're jumping between all of them. Their threads often intersect, then go away, come back together and things like that. There's a great line I wrote down that's the Wasteland Golden Rule that Walton Goggins says, right? He's like, yeah, you'll get sidetracked by bullshit every single time. And it's just like, so, oh, it's like, oh my God, of course. Because like, it is the, we're going to get this thing, but the mission changed to go get this thing. And it is so quest log, Fallout, this is what you're doing. It's crazy how well they've done of adapting video game mechanics to be a story here, an episodic story.
Yeah, it's a blast. Production looks great. The power armor, like you brought up, Bless, looks so good, right? And it sounds so good.
The sound, that's another thing. The sounds sound like the game.
Yes.
Like the stim pack noise is the stim pack noise. I was like, wow, that's really cool.
Oh my gosh. From rad roaches to even more, you'll see. It's like every moment you'll smile and laugh a little bit. And all the weapons too. The detail on the weapons, right? Like seeing the mini fat boy and going like, oh man, I recognize that, right? Like he's shooting that gun and I'm going, oh man, that's crazy. I've held that gun before. It's always fun to see.
So you get to the end of it, Blessing, and Mike gets in the end of it. Do you all have hope for more iterations in this universe? It's so hard to talk about that without spoilers.
I want to season two badly. Okay. And I think, I mean, based on the news of them,
California tax credit.
Yeah, California tax credit. It seems like they're going to make a season two because, you know, they can make it for in less, I guess, save money on it. But then, yeah, I think the story where we finish it warrants more, right? Like there's a satisfying ending. Like I like where it ends, but I think, yeah, like based on where it ends also, I was like, I'm like, yeah, I want more of this.
Yeah.
I think there's so much more left to do.
I immediately said, give me more. I would watch more right away. That's how I left. And unlike Halo, where I left going, you need to make a new season to rewrite and fix this. This is, oh, you give me a good season right now because it's so good. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Kind of killing it over there. Amazon Prime Video.
I know that's
this is Jonathan Nolan, right? I believe this is
Jonathan Nolan is executive producer.
I thought he was a writer as well. Maybe not.
I'm looking on the Wikipedia. They don't have it all written in. The first three, according to Wikipedia, are directed by Jonathan Nolan. The first one is written by Geneva Robertson, Dorette, and Graham Wagner.
Yeah.
There you go.
Fantastic.
Who is Jonathan Nolan? I don't even know.
Man. Chris Nolan's brother.
Yeah, he did Westworld.
Ah! Okay, watch out.
He also wrote the line, you live long enough to become the villain, be hero.
Die a hero, or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
That's the one. And he wrote that line, and Chris Nolan was like, fuck it, that's so good.
Jay-Z was like, I'm going to take that. Yeah. Put it with my songs.
I can't recommend this enough. And back to your point of Amazon, I think the bittersweet thing about it, right, is that tonight I want to go home and watch more with Jen. but I'm going to put it off, number one, to get to where we have screeners where I can see it in full HD and get it with subtitles. And number two, I got to watch all these Invincible episodes for tomorrow's screencast about Invincible.
Question I have for you guys. It's coming out. They moved the date up a little bit earlier, so it's coming out Wednesday as of the time people are hearing this. They're also dropping it all at once, like all eight episodes at the same time, as opposed to doing a weekly drop. Is this one where you feel like, and this is especially for Mike, is this one that you prefer to binge, or would you want it as a weekly drop?
I prefer to binge, but that's my style, right? I know everybody, it's your own personal style, but I love, just give me all the episodes so I can watch them at my own pace. And I think for Fallout and what we just watched, it is so beneficial to end that episode and for you to be able to click and go on to the next one, right? It would slow you down so much to have to wait for the following week. I think this is so good that you're going to ride on this ride and be happy that it's over and wait for the next, as opposed to, oh, this is so good, I want to wait till next week. I like that kind of pause. No, you're going to ride this.
See, for me, of like the Severance comparison that I made, right? Like, I love Severance for the fact that I needed to see that next episode. Mm-hmm. I needed to see what's about to happen next. But I also think that that stuff could work so much to Fallout's benefit if they decided to do weekly. Because there's like worries, a certain episode where I'm like,
but it seemed like it benefited you though to have it all in one drop
for the first half for sure. Yeah. But there's a second half there where I'm like, if I had to wait a week and just talk to people for a week about like, yo, what the fuck is happening in this story? And I think they could have gotten some juice out of that for the conversation.
I think the weekly release definitely benefits shows that seem to skew towards the better quality side. And I do worry about it all getting released immediately because that does kind of take it out of the conversation really
quickly.
This
is a conversation we were having out there with Joey today where she was like, oh, you know, we're all enjoying it. She's like, all right, when's it come out and how's it coming out? I was like, oh, it's coming out tomorrow all at once. I don't have time for that. I'm like, no, you watch so much. She's like, yeah, but I don't have time to sit there and commit to all
especially
that.
Especially because the episodes are so long, too. Yeah, you know, you're talking about like over an hour for the first episode. I believe the second episode is over an hour as well.
That's true.
And so like you have a lot of content there and I do think that it's the kind of show that we would have done a screencast for, or like some kind of weekly check-in for Fallout. I could see that being like, oh man, everybody's talking about this thing, especially when you get further into it. My fear is, we get the drop, and then a week or two from now, it's like, all right, we're on to the next thing.
Yeah, but this one, we are now. Yeah,
yeah. This one, like I feel like this would have gotten that conversation. No,
but we're gamers, not like that with the boys and like when shows are weekly, so much of all
the content in the world is just so come and go. And I think for this, in the gaming world, this is going to be celebrated like red hot for the next 2 weeks. It will be everything everybody's talking about. Fallout will go through the roof of sales on Steam, right? And like the energy will be so there, as opposed to let's release this weekly and just kind of have this mediocre go and then plateau. This is going to skyrocket for the 2 weeks it needs to, and then we'll wait until the next season.
And that's the thing I wonder about, right? Where it's like, we're excited about this as gamers. Gamers have been burned before by adaptations. Maybe if it was weekly, it falls out of your rotation. You're like, I don't know, blah, 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 blah. Like, on the other side of it, for a mainstream audience, right, like, they don't know what this is at all. So, like, is it, you know, how do you get involved? Where are you going to with as much competition, do you actually hang in there? I think it makes a lot of sense to drop it here, especially if you guys are saying it only gets better from where I think it is now. And then, of course, next time around, maybe you do that, right? It finds that audience if it has a, holy shit, like, people love Fallout and they've never even played the games. Maybe Season 2 is then that weekly thing where you can actually keep people engaged.
Like, when I think of Mike and Paris and everybody else talking about Halo and that was weekly and that felt like
forever.
Hopefully next week's gets better, and then it was worse. See, and then it was worse and worse, and it was like, oh man, that's the weekly release definitely doesn't benefit something that is lower quality. But when something is hype and you can go, you know, I just think back to us watching The Boys, and even something like I don't know if Gen V was weekly or not.
Gen V was weekly.
I think The Boys was the most recent one where every week was like, holy shit, what is happening?
Because for me, I think about The Last of Us and how that was weekly. And like that felt like it had a season to itself, right? Of like talking to people and checking back and doing the watch parties and all that stuff.
But even then, I feel like that was prestige. Like that's HBO's shtick, right? The prestige. Where back to Fallout, like there are the moments where I'm like, oh, this visual isn't that great, and this is a weird comedic bit that is like, I'm in, I'm not in, blah blah. Like, I don't think it has the same panache to it. I really enjoy this, and I really love where I'm at, and I think the performances are great. But I think back to what you were saying, right? Like, it has a tone, it has a vibe. Like,
I think it's going to capture people though. Like, based off of like seeing the thing in its totality now, I think it is. it's hard to compare to Last of Us because Last of Us, I think, is trying to be prestige, right? And like, you know, I do think Last of Us is like, has its shit together so much. Whereas there, yeah, there are certain things here in terms of, yeah, CG and different things that I'm like, okay, this is a bit more goofier. This is a bit more like, we're going to be campy. We're going to be goofy. We're going to be whatever. But I think that this is so, I think for me, Fallout is such a breath of fresh air that like, in the way that it tackles post-apocalypse, in the way that it is, like, I, you know, in Last of Us or in Walking Dead, for example, when you encounter cannibals, like, that's the craziest thing ever in those shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas, like, in Fallout, it's like, all right, cannibal, if cannibals is level one, how do we get to level five?
Yeah, the weird
shit that we can do. And I think that's going to do a lot for the audience. Like, I think even the people that aren't video game players or aren't Fallout fans, like, I was telling Tim earlier today that he should watch the show, because, like, I do think that it's just fun and fascinating and interesting as a show period. I think those people are going to come in regardless, and I'm so curious to see what the numbers are for the show, because I think it's going to blow up. I don't know how it's going to do compared to Last of Us, but I think it has potential to like get up there in terms of popularity.
Sounds like it's a lot better than just a good video game adaptation. It's just like a good TV show.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see the non-video game fan attach themselves onto this. I think of people of like my mom, who is very open to trying different things on TV and like looking for that. I don't know if this will capture her. I think it being all eight episodes, my mom is one of those of like, if it captures her on episode one, she'll definitely click episode two. I don't know if the general audience will watch one and go, all right, cool, I could wait 7 days for that. And remember, I got to tune in for this again because I had fun with
it. I'm so excited for like people who don't play Fallout. Yeah,
interested to see if people will like this outside of the gaming sphere. Because on the gaming side, you nailed it. This is the gamer's dream, what they just did. The production quality is very good. The story, as Blessing and I have like alluded to, is good. And it's going to keep you entertained and like keep you on a hook. Is that enough? I don't know. It's not prestige HBO content. It isn't The Boys where you go, oh my God, see, this is crazy. It's like, it's good. And I don't know if that's enough, though.
Which is why, like that's why I come back to like 4 out of 5 show and 10 out of 10 adaptation. Because I think, yeah, for the gamers, I think this nails everything. But what I think the show does right as well is, I think back to my first time playing Fallout and my first time kind of experiencing the world, right? Like the things that were dope about it is starting off in that vault, not knowing, like I'm speaking as somebody who, I didn't watch the trailers before I played Fallout. I saw it at a GameStop for $10. I think I read like the
IGN. What a fucking steal.
Yeah, it was like way after it came out, but like I saw it at $10.
2 years ago.
I was like, is this, it's like 3 months ago.
It was a fucking pandemic. No. I needed something
like, this
to
must
play.
Have been like 2012 or something like that, where like I saw it at GameStop for $10. I saw the IGN review score because I was like, oh, is this good? I think IGN must have given like a 9 or something. And I was like, oh, okay, let me buy this game and play it. Me thinking that it was going to be a post-apocalyptic first-person shooter. And I start playing it and you start off in the vault and I'm like, what is this? And you get out and you're like, you look around and you're like, what the fuck? And the more I played the game, the more I learned about the vaults and what the vaults are and like how those are experiments and all this shit. And the first time I meet a super mutant, when I meet the ghoul, when I meet a ghoul that can talk, like all this shit, the first time that it's introduced is such a moment. And I think there's going to be so many people that are watching the show that have no idea what the fuck Fallout is. And they're going to be like, okay, it's cool. It's another post-apocalyptic thing like Walking Dead. And then they're going to get to the vault and be like, oh, this is funny. And then they're going to get out of the vault and be like, oh, this is interesting. And then they're going to have those moments where they're like, oh, this is what this is. Oh, a ghoul. Oh, he talks like what the fuck. And like, I think those pieces are going to come together really well for people to introduce them to the world in a way that I think might put it on that level. Like, I think this might be a big hit for HBO or for Amazon.
I think it'll be a hit for sure. And I think they nail the parts they need to nail that I think will work for a general audience that worked for us as gamers, right? Fallout 3 was that first time out of the vault, the ksh, like that of like, what's going on? And like, they do that here, right? When the vault door opens, the ksh, like, oh my God, like I was watching, like, I can't believe they did, all, you know, this thing that is like uniquely its own, but also is what we know and expect from a Fallout. That's incredible. Okay.
Good show.
Good show. We all liked it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you like this show, of course, use that Kind of Funny membership. If you get the Kind of Funny membership either on Patreon or YouTube, of course, you get each and every episode ad-free. You get all of our shows ad-free. You can watch us record this show and all the other shows in the afternoon when embargoes allow. And of course, you get the daily video game vlog series extravaganza multimedia thing I call Gregway, where sometimes I yell at Andy on the road. However, you're not using your Kind of Funny membership right now, so here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. A ton of us here at Kinda Funny have been so thankful for Factor since we've been in the new studio, and you can too. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Head to factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 and use code kindoffunny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code kindoffunny50 at factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This episode is brought to you by Dragon's Dogma 2. Dragon's Dogma 2 is the highly anticipated action RPG successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, released in 2012. Dragon's Dogma 2 boasts a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using immersive physics, character AI, and the latest in graphics from Capcom's RE engine. This single-player action RPG challenges players to use their creativity and curiosity to shape their own experience. The world of Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves around choice. Both your party of pawns and enemies alike will react dynamically to your actions on the battlefield, whether you cling to the backs of monsters or seek to dispatch them from afar. Whether you like melee combat, shooting bows and spells, scaling enormous monsters, or using your environment to your advantage, Dragon's Dogma 2 has something for you. And the character creator is easy to use with a ton of customizability to get as creative as you want. So go to dragonsdogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. This episode's brought to you by Robinhood. Did you know that even if you have a 401k for retirement, you can still have an IRA? Robinhood has the only IRA that gives you a 3% boost on every dollar you contribute when you subscribe to Robinhood Gold. But get this, now through April 30th, Robinhood is even boosting every single dollar you transfer in from other retirement accounts with a 3% match. That's right, no cap on the 3% match. Robinhood Gold gets you the most for your retirement thanks to their IRA with a 3% match. This offer is good through April 30th. Get started at robinhood.com/boost. Subscription fees apply. And now for some legal info. Claim as of Q1 2024, validated by Radius Global Market Research. Investing involves risk, including loss. Limitations apply to IRAs and 401ks. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold for 1 year from the date of first 3% match. Must keep Robinhood IRA for 5 years. The 3% matching on transfers is subject to specific terms and conditions. Robinhood IRA available to U.S. customers in good standing. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker-dealer.
Can I point out three things?
Yeah.
First, the score. Score is great. I want to shout out the score.
Oh, you mean the... Oh, yeah, yeah. Dude, the soundtrack is... Again, it's like they're playing all the fucking Fallout music that I'll sit there listening to Three Dog on my Pit Boy when I run. And I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah, so I love the music. The setting of, like, Los Angeles has been the big thing that they've been teasing, the marketing, all this stuff. The show doesn't feel as Los Angeles-y as I thought it would. Mike, I don't know if you have any thoughts about this without spoiling, but, like, I thought I was going to get more, this is Hollywood. Mm-hmm. This is like the setting. And Los Angeles doesn't feel like Los Angeles in the way that Boston and Fallout 4 feels like Boston, right? And DC in Fallout 3 feels like the Capital Wasteland.
I think that's the issue with California and LA in particular, because it's so massive, right? And we know these small touchstones, but when you really think of it in the grand scheme of things,
it's almost like LA has no culture.
Yeah. It's tiny. But I do think there's like 3 to 4 key moments that you will go, oh, that's so LA, right? You're going to see, of course, the coastline, and then you're going to go, okay, there's that, I know that. And then you'll see some
zombie
other...
James Dean.
You'll see some other moments, but yeah, it's not like, you know, the zombie movies that are up in the Hollywood Hills. I think of Dead Island that we just played, where it's like, oh, we are literally in Hollywood, right? Like, I think you'll get some touchstones, I think, throughout the season. It feels LA, but not as LA as I think, like, the overly,
yeah. Based on the marketing, I would have thought that it's like, yeah. Oh yeah, we're gonna get a lot of LA, and you get some. Like, there are some storylines that like have to do with it being in LA, but I thought that we're gonna get more.
God bless. I can't wait to turn this off and just talk with you about it, bro.
We gotta do a spoiler cast because I want to talk about the fun.
I just dropped one on the calendar.
Okay,
to make sure we get it in there. Yeah, yeah. It'll be a while, but we'll get there.
Yeah. And then one more thing I want to shout out is just like the visual design of like how good the vaults look, how like. Like, I was talking to Tim earlier today. We were doing, like, the Star Wars Outlaws trailer reaction. And, like, I commented how, like, I always love the design of, like, the interiors of the Empire ships.
Yeah.
This, like, kind of brings me back to, man, like, I just love vault design and, like, the, like, vault jumpsuit and, like,
dude,
everything they're nailing.
That jumpsuit looks so I'm watching good. That jumpsuit. I'm like, I fucking need one of these. Yeah. You need one for Halloween. Get
it looks
here.
So high quality. There's the moment where you mentioned the stim pack being used.
Yeah.
And she zips it back up, and it's like, dude, that thing looks so high quality and badass. Like, the material work, they did such a great job with, like, what'll be the good on-film version of this? Because we see a lot of games, adaptations kind of fail at that sometimes.
Sure.
And I thought they did a fantastic job.
And outside of the vault, too, of, like, the different areas you'll go, and it's just like Diamond City when you play in Fallout 4. You're like, what would that look like? Oh, that's so cool, right? Like, you will meet others out there, and it's always cool. The caps. When they jiggle the caps in the guy's shoe or something and pulls it out, it's like, oh man, like that is exactly how that would look in real life. That's so sick.
Yeah, I think they've done something pretty incredible here. Like, I'm very excited to watch more. Like, I think they really crushed it, so I'm glad to see it. It only gets better from here on out.
And you'll only have to wait 20 years for a Fallout game.
Thank you for doing that, Andy. That's a great transition, because, of course, this is the Kind of Funny Games cast. Of course, talking about game adaptation. I did want to touch on the video game stuff here of, like,
what's going on?
What a missed fucking opportunity.
I'm so mad I don't have, like, a new Fallout to play right now.
Even fucking remastered. You know what I mean?
Yeah, remastered Fallout New Vegas.
76
could
be it. Plus.
We had a great weekend that one time. Let's go back.
I literally have New Vegas downloading on my work laptop right now. Yep. I think I'm going to go back and beat New Vegas.
I'm streaming that for the first time on Thursday on the Kind of Funny channel. Fallout games, I've talked about it many times where they were just always too ugly for me. And I was like, I don't like that vibe. I don't want that. That's Let me be Commander Shepard, you know?
Sure, hell yeah.
But, like, knowing how genius these games are and knowing how, you know, my favorite moments are just not even the main stories in a lot of these RPGs. It is meeting that one random character that takes you down a rabbit hole of just crazy, holy shit, what's happening to you? What are the consequences that could happen? You know, I love hearing about all that. And the fact that the Fallout fans out there don't have that new thing to go to. Do you think that they make a big marketing push for 76 now? Like, is now the time to do that?
It sucks that it's 76 is the latest one. Like,
I mean, I've heard everything that we've heard about 76 is how improved it is.
But, like, the last time we went to play it,
we went and played it when they dropped the NPCs and the voice dialogue, and Jay Muse was in it. And
that
yada
was like
yada.
4 years, 3 years.
I know.
Years ago?
Yeah. But I mean, if that was a big step up improvement, like, they're not, like, even if it's better, it's not like they're like the ugly shit you didn't like about Fallout. It's still ugly shit about that.
And the positive about that is it's a shared experience as well. We're living in a world of Fortnite dominating everything in games. Fallout 76 is now the opportunity to go, oh, let's all go in there and experience a Fallout together. You can do that instantly with your friends. Oh, you don't want that? There's multiple single-player adaptations that you can jump in and play that instead if you'd like. But I think Fallout 76 gets a big boost. Fallout 4 will probably get the biggest boost, being the closest, nearest installment. New Vegas will get some love because it's in the area of Southwest, but man,
miss. I got a tweet from Fallout on Twitter from December 13th, 2023.
You're like, they just tweeted you today or something. Like, you made a comment and they came back.
No, this is from this last December where they say, thank you for your patience with us as we work on the Fallout 4 next-gen update. We know you're excited and so are we, but we need a bit more time and look forward to an exciting return to Commonwealth in 2024. So they're working on a current gen update of Fallout 4. I don't think that's come out yet, right? I don't think I heard anything about that.
No.
So I think that's probably meant to be the thing. But the fact that it's not here already, what are we doing?
Man. And Fallout 4 have DLC?
Yes.
Yeah.
It had Far Harbor. It had a Nuka-Cola world. It had a robot one as well.
I must never gone back to that. Maybe I kicked the tires on that stuff.
What's up with this and Fallout 4 remaster with ray tracing? What's
Fallout 76 also has, you know, Pittsburgh. They have the Pit. And they also have Atlantic City that just came
out, too.
So.
With all due respect, fuck off with the Fallout 76 stuff. I've tried several times. I enjoyed it for 20 hours. Some other update, I enjoyed for a weekend. Me and Bless went back. Like, I'm not going back again.
Remember,
to build my shitty little fucking ramshackle house and get thirsty.
Remember when you were like, Mike,
get thirsty.
I'd talk all this trash on the PSVR. What if I just dedicated a week to it? What if the four of us dedicate a week of streaming? That's 15 hours.
Yeah.
Boom. We go all the way through. One full week.
I think the problem is, like,
opening yourself up to a new experience.
I feel like the quality of life stuff.
I'm not rebuffing the idea. I'm not rebuffing the idea.
I know. Hey, I'm just saying.
Because I feel like there was like quality of life stuff where it's like shared progression was an issue.
There's a lot of shared missions. A lot of stuff. It's a different game.
But it's been a lot of years since all
the. But this is the last time we jumped in.
76?
No, this is the HD.
Fallout 4 with ray tracing.
Ah, yeah, AK, NVIDIA, DLSS.
What
if? I don't know if that's true.
So what? I mean, like next week's already fucked. You can't do it then.
That's true. I mean,
that's true.
Something like that.
And we won't be talking about it.
I jumped into Fallout 4 last night. And, you know, after you finish this or once you start watching it, you're going to want to play Fallout right away. And I jumped into Fallout 4. It is awesome to relive those opening moments of the bomb dropping and, like, going into the shelter, right? Like, it is cool, these opening sequences. And I would love to rank them with you guys one day and at least talk about all the differences, because there is really cool from Fallout 3 to Fallout 4. 76, I think, has the best vista when you come out of the vaults, because it is that West Virginia wasteland. You're in the rolling hills. There is some sort of like color differentiator, because I know for you, Andy, you think it's just too gray and like kind of boring. I think Fallout 4 or Fallout 76 nails, hey, I'm actually in a colorful world as opposed to something so bland.
Fallout 4 will always be that game for me that a lot of other games kind of became victim to as well, but Fallout 4 was always like the main version of it, where it was in development for so long that it came out looking outdated already compared to a lot of the other games in the genre.
It's the same year as Witcher 3.
Yeah, so like
Arkham Knight as well.
Luckily, they totally avoided that with Starfield.
No, I mean, Starfield looks really, really nice in moments, but there, yeah, like I'll never forget Fallout 4 when you go into a little cave or into an underground and everything just looks so flat. I was like, ugh, I just don't like the... It's also just been, you're right, Mike, a lot of just the grays and a lot of it looking largely uninteresting to me. But that's just also my kind of vibe. I've never really vibed with this genre.
It's the weird thing where like I panned Starfield for its visuals, especially in the character models. Like, a lot of it just looked dated and ugly to me. But for whatever reason, with Fallout, I just chalk it up as part of the style. Yes. Like, it's such an ugly world. Like, in terms of the wasteland and, like, you see the super mutants and how, like, ugly everything is. And so, yeah, I look at the character models and I'm like, oh, that's Fallout. But I play Starfield, I'm like, yo, fuck these.
Also, fuck like, these those are character models from, like, shit. A decade ago plus, you know?
Yeah. And they also have all the mods. All these games have the big mod generation with Skyrim and Bethesda, what they've done with all those games. I think here's a little hidden one for you that I think could get some love. Fallout Shelter. If you remember that on your phone when you were building your own little Fallout vault.
We were watching last night and Jen's like, I've never played a Fallout. Oh, I played Fallout Shelter.
Fallout Shelter.
That was that thing that broke out because, again, accessibility being everywhere. Right,
free on the phone, on PC as well. That was a fun time back in the day. So I wonder if that gets some love. But, yeah, we're in a very interesting spot of, you know, that Todd Howard and the team are moving on to Elder Scrolls 6. We know Fallout is way over there and the fans have begged, oh, give it back to Obsidian, let them create something in the meantime.
Yeah.
And we haven't had any official announcements of X team is going to do this. Let's go.
If you're
it
Xbox,
seems so
man,
far away.
If you're Xbox, you got to imagine, like, let's spin up a Fallout team. You know what I mean? Or let's help you. Like, you can do the mainline ones, but let's get some stuff going. Because, again, like, the excitement of going to 76, I just don't think it's the same experience as the show. I think that, you know, the shared experience is fine, but then it just deludes what the show is, because the show is so much the games. But then going back to 4 is an older game that isn't, like, you know, the bells and whistles of right now.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. And I'd like to think that, yeah, over at Xbox, they're like, yo, how do we get the next Fallout going? But I think it all is up to Bethesda and Todd Howard.
Yeah.
You know, I think for them, they're like, nah, this is our baby. Like, the same way that we talk about Naughty Dog with Uncharted.
It's
like the last time we let someone else develop a Fallout, it was
the greatest
better
Fallout.
A lot of people say
Fallout,
it was better
so
than
we don't feel.
That's great. The big thing. I mean, me personally, as a huge Fallout guy, and I say huge Fallout guy, like a huge Fallout 3, a huge Fallout 4, I did a bunch of 76. I never rolled credits on New Vegas.
See, I'm the.
And so, everybody's like, it's the best one, so I should go back.
And that's where I'm at. Like, I think finishing the show sort of made me realize that Fallout is just one of my favorite video game IPs. Like, I absolutely love and adore this world. And, yeah, like, I never rolled credits on New Vegas. I probably played, like, I think 7 or 8 hours on stream one time, like, a few years back. And now I'm like, I got to get back. Like, I got to get back and beat New Vegas.
See, Mike, I'm down for us to figure out the week where we just stream Fallout 76, but we have to all get jumpsuits. We all, that's the thing. We're in our own vault in there.
I do already have a jumpsuit.
Hey, you did. Yeah, you did a Halloween costume. Yeah, yeah. You looked real good. Did you make that or did you buy that?
No, I think Spirit Halloween would give me like a discount because I was the king of Halloween.
Yeah, sure. So before we gave it to
Tyler. Yeah, before we gave it away. Yeah. But yeah, now I have my Halloween costume for this year sorted out, because I'm definitely going to be jumpsuit.
You're gonna like redo dollar. The number, try to be like the show.
Yeah, like paint 33 on it.
Well, let's let you and Andy get through the show, and hopefully you're riding the high still, right?
Will
before
be, yeah.
this dies off, like we talked about with kind of releasing all the episodes, and let's try to capture this high and have some fun. I think a lot of people will jump on, enjoy the high, and then move on to the next thing. So we'll see if we as a team can do something fun together, which would be cool.
Week of the 29th could work, I'm just saying. Just saying, Mike.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What trailer is? Is this Fallout 3?
This is New Vegas.
New Vegas. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. God, what a cool one, man. New Vegas was awesome. All the storylines was awesome stuff.
We're so far away from a new one.
That is the Bethesda problem, though. Because we could say that for Elder Scrolls.
Yeah,
everybody
but nobody
wants those.
Cares about that game.
I'm with you. Yeah, fuck Elder Scrolls.
Nah, you fucking Rosad, though. Get out of here. Nobody cares.
I can summon a dragon. Idiots.
Everybody's making fucking dragon games. Can't just you make Dragon's a goddamn Dying, Fallout game? That's what we want, you know?
Yeah, what sucks about that is, like, if there ever is the next Fallout game, like, you're having it release with the Fallout TV show season 9 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't see what the solution is anytime soon. And that's insane for an IP like this.
Wasn't there a rumor or was there an Xbox mod or whatever for Fallout 3 Remastered or something?
See, I started Googling that. I couldn't find anything.
There's I think there's a fan-made one called Fallout London that people have been keeping eyes on.
Yeah,
but I don't think
right.
that's any time like soon. But yeah, we have kept eyes on Fallout London on the XCast. We've talked about the Fallout 4 next-gen update like you spoke about. But I think when you look at it, it's like you would love 3 or New Vegas to be having a official remaster right now would be such a killer move. It would be unbelievable.
Oh, man. They got Fallout New Vegas with RTX remix.
I was going to say, wait.
So it's from the Microsoft document from the court thing last year. Oh. Oblivion remaster, Fallout 3 remaster, and more leaked from Microsoft document. I'm looking into
it. On gamingbible.com. Fallout 3 remaster quietly teased via Steam. This is from March 2024. Bethesda is known for crafting some of the most iconic RPGs, blah, 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 blah. Aside from the likes of this, one of the games considered to be the best is Fallout 3. Yada, yada, yada. Hold on. I hate it when they give me this long, you know what I mean? Inverted pyramid. Give me the information right at the top. Come on, journalism's go 101 over here. Released in 2008, met with high critical acclaim. Fans still enjoying adventures, especially when it comes to this. God. Modders doing it for...
Here's the thing about...
A couple weeks ago, we talked... No, go ahead.
The thing about the Microsoft core document is that, yeah, like, they have, like, their anticipated release slate, and then you look at what they have written down here, and you're like, oh. Because it's 2022, Oblivion Remaster, and Indiana Jones. That was 2 years ago, as those were supposed to come out. And then financial year 2023, Doom Year Zero and the DLC, Project Kestrel and Project Platinum, and then you get the financial year 2024, and then you get to Elder... It says Elder Scrolls 6. And then, yeah, Fallout 3 Remaster, Project Kestrel expansion, and then they go Ghostwire Tokyo sequel. And we know that these things are not happening at least anytime soon.
Yeah.
So maybe we get a Fallout 3 Remaster in 6 years.
There's so much Fallout content. Go play it.
But I want new stuff now.
It's crazy.
I want to look pretty now, Mike.
Going through the Steam page and just going through all of this. There's DLC for every single one of them.
I never did do the Fallout 4 DLC.
Yeah, me neither.
You think about some of the DLC and you're like, man, some of that was so good. That Fallout New Vegas stuff was real good.
You know what DLC I also didn't do? Fallout 3. The Fallout 3 DLC.
Fallout 3 DLCs were great.
It always looked really interesting because they had like the alien shit going on.
Yeah.
Yes. Broken Steel, Point Lookout.
Point Lookout, was that like the swamp?
Operation Anchorage.
Yeah.
That's the one you're thinking of. Yep.
I wonder if I still have that save.
You know what? You'd be surprised. I still have a Elder Scrolls Oblivion save from 2007.
So that's because you're on Xbox. PlayStation is
down the Xbox.
Xbox does that shit.
I don't even
really
have my PS3 anymore.
Right? Xbox is crazy,
I'm pretty sure like my PS3 stopped working, and then I gave it to my friend Joe, and Joe put it in the oven to like try and fix it. Apparently, there was a thing you can do where you like overheat.
You bake your
PS3.
Everybody knew about it now.
I've overheated my PS3. If we take it up even hotter, though, it'll come back.
I think legitimately that was a strat.
Yeah, it I think it like reheated glue that would like stick to something that needed to like be stuck for it to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like a pretty popular
thing. So I was like, hey, if you, I forget what the deal was, but I was like, if you can fix my PS3, you can have it. I think that's the deal I made with him. And he was like, I'm going to take this. He's an engineer, so I'm sure he figured it out. That's why I trusted him putting it in the oven. I was like, hey, you're an engineer.
You got a deal.
Yeah.
You're an engineer. I trust you.
He might have given me like $10 or something. I don't know. But yeah, I don't have that save. But
I don't have that anymore.
Go make a new
play
save.
Fallout 3.
Go get lost.
Get some clean water for the world. The capital of Wasteland.
I'm just looking at RTX Remix mods for Fallout.
Look at all the Fallout 4 DLC trophies.
You trying to get back in there? We can do a Fallout week.
We do a Fallout week. Every one of us pick a Fallout game. And we can.
If we're doing a Fallout week, we should commit that all four of us are going back to 76. Going to 76 and rolling.
Yeah, going back. What do you mean going 17 back?
Character.
I was playing the Fallout 76 Battle Royale, Andy. You know that.
Oh, that's right. Firewall? What was it called?
No, that was you're thinking of Battlefield Hour? was the fire one. Firestorm or something. Yeah. Firewatch. Who knows?
The second Firestorm.
I don't remember
today.
What they called that one. I don't know what the name was.
I thought it was a wall of fire, though, coming in.
I think it was radiation. I think it's radiation.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Thematically.
I've never heard of Fallout radiation.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kinda Funny Games Cast with your Fallout Amazon TV
Nuclear
show
Winter.
Review.
That's the Battle Royale mode?
Yeah, that's Nuclear Winter. It. You said radiation.
Well, yeah, the radiation is closing in. The gas.
Oh,
so
we're talking about the wall. Gotcha.
If you like what you saw here, of course, support us with your Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all the shows ad-free. Watch them live as we record them and get the multimedia experience each and every day known as Greg Way. Like we said, Fallout is on Amazon as of today, so you can go watch it. You can leave your thoughts, your comments. We will do a spoiler cast, I'm confirming, at some point in the future where we can all hang out and talk about that, which will be a lot of fun. Again, though, we all like it. Recommend it. Great cast. Great everything.
Go watch it.
Yep.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen. It's been our pleasure to serve you.